Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally L. Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate Radio. Today, my guests are Tamson Bowles and Reggie Bowles, a couple from Oklahoma. My co-host is Terry LaPointe, and I don't know who's on the line right now. It might be the Bowles or Terry. Hold on just a second.
Yes, who's that?
Hello, is this Reggie Bowles?
That's Reggie, this is me.
Hi there, is Tamson with you?
I'm right here. Hi there.
Right here. Thank you for calling in. We have the great privilege today to be joined by Terry LaPointe, who will be calling in shortly, I'm sure. And she's an expert in this, and I wanted you to get the very best advice you could. So please start by telling us your story. She already is apprised of it.
Well, in January the 10th, CPS came and took our children. They were outside our house all day trying to get in. We told them we're not interested in talking to them. We've dealt with them before. We know what they're all about. And finally, the workers perjured themselves on a
I'm going to stop right there. You're not clear at all. Could you not be on a speakerphone? Could you be holding a phone?
Okay.
Well, would you now start?
Can you hear me now?
And I hear you very clearly, Tamson. Yes, I do. Do you hear me? Hold on while I pick up. I believe this is Terry now.
Okay.
Hi.
Is this Terry?
Can you hear me?
Hi, Terry.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay. So we're all together now. And
My husband will not be able to hear you when it's not on speaker.
I can just hand the phone to him whenever needed.
I am going to have my husband repeat everything he just said. Hold on.
Thank you.
Yes, around the 10th of January, CPS came to my home, wanted to see the children. Can you hear me?
Yes, there's noise in the background, though, so if that could stop. Okay, start again, please. Sorry.
Okay. On the 10th of January, CPS came to my home, wanted to speak to us and see our children. We dealt with them before. We told them we're not going to answer any questions, but speak to a lawyer. They tried to bluff their way in all day long, kept police and CPS out the side the door. I said, without a warrant, you're not getting in. You're not going to speak to the children. We dealt with them before. We know what they're all about. Last time they had my children in custody, we believe our oldest was vaccine injured because he has autism now. And he was fine before, and when we got him back, they gradually regressed into autism. And, they had workers outside the door that lied on a sworn affidavit that perjured himself, which is a felony, but I doubt they'll ever be held to account for it. And because of their lie on their sworn affidavit, which we can prove is a lie because we have the ER reports, they received a court order that allowed them to break down the door necessary and use what force was necessary to get the children. Well, and still, once I realized what was up and what I'd have to do, even without a warrant, just with a court order that could do what they was going to do, I let them in. My wife ran back into the bedroom with the children. She panicked, and the police roughed her up, handcuffed her, arrested her, and took the children. And that's where we are now.
Okay. Why were they at your door?
Why was that door? Because some neighbor supposedly called, and we think we know which neighbor it was, and she's a crazy lady who lives next door that is all to see off her meds.
Oh, my God. So you actually think you know who it is? And
yeah.
And so have you confronted her?
Go ahead.
Did you confront the person who reported it?
No, she was once we finally realized who it was, because she went by a weird name. And we asked around, and we told she'd moved. I wasn't sure who it was. I was asking around about this name. Once I found out the name and where the person lived, I realized who that was, and by that time she'd already moved.
Okay, so she did her damage, and so that is why you had previous experience with them, or that day?
No, we had previous experience with them because my wife was giving birth to our youngest, and this is her second C-section, and she was physically exhausted, and they used the excuse they thought she had mental problems, but she was not. It was not a mental breakdown; she had a physical breakdown. And they decided to not let her leave the hospital with the child. Well, we have an older child here. So they had to, if you get one, you get the other. So I knew there was nothing wrong with the older child. I knew we did not abuse them. So I took them to their hack pediatrician, and she said he was off the chart, underweight. And later on, they also lied on the petition and said he couldn't walk or talk. And we had video before they took him about him with him walking and talking. So once again, just another lie, be able to snatch the children. And that's how they got on the
first
time.
Okay, Terry, would you like to weigh in at this point, Terry? Are you here, Terry?
So, yes, I muted myself because I'm so I've been listening. So you got the They took your child based on allegations that. Oh, so your mother. Let's actually go back to the birth with the C-section. She was exhausted, and
yes.
Was she trying for a VBAC, a vaginal birth after C-section?
No,
is that what? Oh, okay. So she was just it was just another C-section, as far as going in.
Yes, it's their second C-section. She was exhausted. And what was a physical breakdown, they're acting like it's a mental breakdown, and they said that they didn't believe she'd be able to take care of her child.
Okay. And you eventually overcame that, right?
Yes, we overcame that. We got the children back.
Okay. So had they alleged that you, I mean, because there's two parents there. You're married, right? Or you're together. There's two parents. So did they think that you couldn't take care of the child either?
They never contacted me until they was ready to examine the oldest child. They didn't tell me there was any problem with her in the hospital, nothing.
Wow. Okay. So that always bothers me. If there's a problem with one parent, if one parent is not, quote, capable, there's another parent. And many times if there's a somebody that's not, say you've got a disabled daughter that has a baby, and she's got some issues, but she's still living at home and has the baby. She's got the baby's grandparents there to take care of them. So this is something that I have seen people seen CPS use, and it's crazy. It shouldn't be done like that. So they should have taken into account your ability to parent because the child has two parents.
Yes, of course, but, you know, most people have no idea until they deal with CPS what they're all about. Like I tell people,
absolutely, undoubtedly.
No horror movie ever prepared you for dealing with these people. And I don't care
Senator
how right
Alan
you are.
Clark, Senator Alan Clark of Arkansas said the same thing. We actually did, when I was with medicalkidnap.com,
an
article where he said that.
I'm plagiarizing him, yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, that's just you're not plagiarizing. That's a statement that people say. I wouldn't consider. I mean, when you're saying an expression, that's not plagiarism. But I know that even some people in Congress have figured this out, that it's way worse than anybody ever imagined. And most people like you don't think that it's such a big deal until they're dealing with them, because if they're innocent, loving parents, the thinking is that, oh, this is a great big misunderstanding. These people are here to help the children. And,
exactly.
Therefore, innocent people tend to be very naive as to what is really going on. And by the time they figure out that, whoa, this isn't like I thought it was, and they're not listening and they're not seeing that I'm really innocent and that we haven't done anything wrong, there's so much damage that has been done, and it's really difficult to recover from.
Exactly. Now, the second time when they were outside the door, their sworn affidavit, they said that the children were looked malnourished and they had rings around their eyes. Well, and when they went to the ER, the ER report, none of this appears. The ER report basically says, and we had this looked over by a doctor verifying that what we thought we saw is what we're seeing, that they were good shape, healthy, and well-nourished, both of them. Then later on, when they send them to the pediatrician, I think that's about 4 days later.
Yeah.
4 days later. Even the pediatrician doesn't say they're malnourished. She said she doesn't even bother to look at the youngest one. She only looks at the oldest one because of his autism. And so since they can't get us on the original charges, what they got him for, because we have the ER proving that what they swore to was a lie, they're trying to get us now that they say we didn't give proper care to Timogen for his autism, which they gave him.
And when did they give him this autism, please?
When he was in their custody last time, we believe he was vaccinated and got a vaccination injury. We haven't been able to prove that vaccinated because we never got the record.
Terry often,
and they can also give a vaccination without records. Yes, that's true.
Oh, so they vaccinated him and they did not keep a record of it. But Terry,
that's why we haven't been able to get the records. But we're not sure. We tried for a long time to get the previous medical records, but we never got them.
Well, I have heard that the minute they take children into custody, they vaccinate them.
I've heard that too.
And that varies from state to state and jurisdiction to jurisdiction. But there are some places that yes, as soon as they get them in there. In their grasp, they are vaccinated.
Yeah,
so,
I know that.
That's
like I said, I haven't been able to prove it yet that they vaccinated them because, like I said, when we got them back, we were still going to a doctor for care for wellness checks. And that we had that doctor get all their previous medical records, and none of the doctors they saw would ever send them records forward.
Because they use their own providers. They use their providers that they approve. And actually, there's an attorney that I know that heard the attorney for Child Protective Services say to the judge in court, Judge, we don't want to use this provider because this provider doesn't find the way we want them to.
Right.
So they're handpicked providers.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So,
What did you just say? Oh, would you repeat that? The provider you're talking about is a pediatrician, and that pediatrician does not find
either a pediatrician or a therapist. Well, right. But the provider, the attorney for Child Protective Services said, Judge, we don't want to use that provider because that provider does not find the way that we want them to.
Thank you.
They don't make the findings that Child Protective Services wants them to make.
I get it.
It's alarming, but it's very common. I'm so
and
sorry.
That's what
okay.
I'm so sorry this is happening, guys.
Even though we flat caught them perjuring themselves because we had the ER reports. See, why our lawyers are twiddling their thumbs, we went out and got the medical reports on the children. And we had them looked over by friends. One was a paralegal, and they're saying what we saw, and then we had it looked over by an MD who we were referred to. He's kind enough to do it for us for free. He looked over and said, yes, that's exactly it. According to these reports, the children are good shape, healthy, and well-nourished. And, you know, they're telling us later on that the youngest one was borderline off the chart, and the oldest one was off the chart. And the doctor goes, both of them are well within their weight for their age group. So they basically have a lie, but now they're trying to go past the lie and saying that we didn't treat him properly for his autism. And we were using nutritional things to try to help him because I don't believe, although we have recently found a cutting edge therapy that we're looking into and trying to get them to send our oldest child to, that they don't really have anything for brain damage. I mean, their therapy, I mean, if you're getting crayons now, you have to watch it till you didn't eat them.
Oh, do you know where your children are now?
Yes, they're with a relative. They're with a relative right now.
Oh, you. Thank God.
Well, that's huge.
Well, that's
because that doesn't always happen.
This relative, though, may have been responsible for also their vaccinations without our consent, because we suspect that as well.
Mm.
The only reason I'd love them to stay with this relative, because I don't want to cause any more heartache to my wife, because at least she knows where they're at.
Right.
And besides, maybe except for the vaccination thing, it seems that she's always treated them right. So, you know, better the devil you do know.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
that's right.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because the stranger placement, there are good foster parents out there, and there really are. There are people who actually care, who are trying to help. But the statistics are very alarming that children who are in foster care are at least six times more likely to be raped or molested or abused, and even 10 times more likely to be killed in foster care than even in a rough home. So at least your children have somebody that they know at the, and there is some kind of a relationship, and that's a good thing. So,
yes.
But even so, those relatives aren't mom and dad, and children need mom and dad. That's
true.
That's the reality. So
it's
do you have any
fun
access
doing
to them?
Go ahead.
Can you see them? Do you have access to them?
Yes, we get to see them. The judge told us that we could have 3 visits a week. So far, we're only getting 2. And the last time they had them, we only got 1 visit a week. And because of their age, we should have even the last time been given 3 visits a week. But we only got 1 visit a week, and this time we're only getting 2. Say again?
How old is the baby?
The oldest one now is 3, and the... Oh, the oldest one is 5, yeah, and the youngest is 3, yes.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Well, this is devastating.
Yes. Let me ask you
what
may seem to be a silly question. What color hair do these kids have?
The oldest one is blonde, and the youngest one is
more brownish.
What color eyes?
They're both brown, but the youngest one,
okay.
I mean, the oldest one, mine originally blue.
Well,
yeah,
all babies, they start out with blue.
Yeah, they both have brown eyes.
Okay.
The oldest one, at that time, he was a very beautiful blonde baby.
Okay. Well, and the reason that I ask that is what we've seen is, it's uncanny in the number of interviews that I've done, knowing nothing about people, not seeing any pictures, and somewhere in the course of the conversation we find out that at least one of the children is blonde hair, blue eyes. And
That's what they're looking for to get to adopt, I know.
Yes. And the second most in demand is mixed race babies.
Right.
So.
Beautiful baby. Easy to adopt.
Mm-hmm. They want the adoptable ones because that's where the funding is with the Adoption and Safe Families Act of 1997. That is Hillary Clinton's baby, where she talks about, helping families, that she's helping children to find their forever homes and being adoptable. So Child Protective Services is going around trying to find adoptable children.
Exactly.
And that is why, you know, I've had a lot of people talk about the Netflix movie about Gabriel in California recently. There's been a documentary apparently done on this case with this child where he was horribly abused and had Child Protective Services missed many opportunities where they should have removed him from real imminent danger, and he eventually was killed in his own home. And people are saying, well, doesn't this show that we need Child Protective Services to help people and they weren't doing an adequate job? Well, what it shows is they get it wrong just about every case, because little Gabriel, having been abused was now considered by many in the system to be damaged goods, who was unadoptable. Therefore, he was not the cash cow. They left him in his situation, and now they're taking children like yours who are loved and who are wanted and who have good parents that care about them. I'm not saying that every social worker believes this way. I don't think that many of them getting into this field, and hear this, many of them getting into this field go in with starry-eyed and idealistic that they're going to help the poor little abused children of the world. And that's what I believe they truly believe and are intending. But there are powerful forces at work, financial forces and demonic forces at work within the system. I would say in probably about 75% of the cases that I've covered, that at least one social worker, if not more, has quit because of the injustice that they see in that particular case. So the good ones that really care, they get in there, they see the corruption, and they get out. And they run with their tail between their legs.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. And that's why it surprised me this time around, because of the reports we got from their hack pediatrician Passmore last time, the same one looked at him this time. And actually, she's halfway decent, but then I've also heard and studied some of her former cases where she got in trouble that she was using the term failure to thrive far too much, so she's far less apt to use that now. Because that's her go-to term, to be able to kidnap the child.
It is. Failure to thrive is used a lot for taking children.
Yeah, but she actually lost
in
court cases over that, and now she didn't use it so much.
Say it again.
Let me say that again.
Reggie?
Yeah, I'm here.
What was that you said? I'm sorry.
I said the pediatrician they use, her name is Passmore, she got in trouble with previous court cases that we've studied that she has been using the term failure to thrive far too much. So she's not as quick to use that term anymore because it has been her go-to term in the past. To enable her to kidnap children.
Well, there's another term.
That's what she does. That's her job.
There's another term, in the best interest of the child.
Oh, yeah, I hear that quite often. That's even in our petition, in the best interest of the child.
And they don't have to qualify it at all.
No.
Right.
Just like another go-to term is they had great concern. They didn't say what, they just had great concern.
Wow. You know, what would be really nice is if we could get into the court trainings and into these social workers that the best interest of the child is always to have the love and affection and approval and bonding with their parents, with their biological, physical parents, and that we need to do everything possible to make that possible. Maybe a parent doesn't have the best skills. Maybe we can send them to a class and help them. Or maybe we can encourage them instead of ripping them apart and destroying them.
Right. That would be good. And I agree there needs to be some kind of agency to do stuff like that, because I know there are really children out there that really need help. But I don't know how it is in other states, but here in Oklahoma, it's gone so far, the best thing you can do is just close it down. Start from scratch. Close the whole system down.
Right, right. The system is messed up, and it's not just in Oklahoma. It's all across the country. And it is because the federal funding that goes to the states has been 90% of the federal funding for years, for decades, has gone to the model of remove the child, place them with strangers in foster care, and adopt them out to strangers in foster care. Adopt them out to strangers. And so that is where the focus has been. And then all the other little classes and dangling the carrot and you do this and do that and get your kid back, and everybody's got, so many people have their hand in the pie, getting some funding for this or that or the other thing that's involved. And so that the model has been a model that incentivizes destruction. Whereas one of the congresspeople, the congressional aides that I spoke with in Washington, D.C. this past fall, told me that she was pointing out that that's what's been wrong, and she was talking about how they're working really hard on family first, and they're trying to completely transition the entire system to the model of the bulk of the funding going towards prevention of removal in the first place. Or if they do remove, yeah, working towards restoring. And if there are situations where they cannot do that, at least placing them with family, whereas foster care and adoption by strangers is the last resort. And so, but she, this aide had was involved in writing the Family First Act and the Family First Transition Act, both of which have been now signed into law, but they've not been enacted in many states, and many states are trying to push off enacting them. But it's basically shifting that funding, and she said once that bureaucracy gets shifted and turned around, then we'll go in, and they want to go in and do more specific things to help families. But the whole thing has got to really shift the entire Titanic away from that iceberg that it's been heading towards and crashed into.
One of the problems we're facing here is whatever DHS/CPS hands to the judge or to the district attorney gets rubber stamped. Like our petitions, the original petition, the first time we took children, one of the reasons used on the petition for taking children is that we did not believe in vaccination. That's literally completely illegal, but there it is on petition, used as a reason for taking the children. The second time on the petition, it says that we refuse to talk to them. We exercise that pesky thing called the Fifth Amendment. And that's the reason they used to take the children. And this is signed off, they just rubber stamp it. The DA even looks at it, whatever it's handed to him. Same thing with the judge. Same thing with this court order. They just rubber stamp, bam, bam, take them. And it's completely illegal, completely. I mean, the first petition, I mean, it's not even that we refused to vaccinate. We said we didn't believe in vaccination. So they took them for a thought crime. Now, the second time, because we exercised our constitutional rights, boom, take them. Can you hear me?
So, yes, I do. Do you have an attorney?
Yeah, we have.
That's working with you?
Yeah, we have two attorneys, public defender. And my wife, for her criminal trial, from the resisting arrest and obstruction, two accounts of assaulting an officer. Yeah, those big officers were assaulted by this little lady. And now she's having to fight that in criminal trial, and we're also having to fight for our children in family court.
Wow. Are your attorneys helping, or are they filing things to help in your case?
Well, our attorney that we hired for the criminal trial seems to be doing pretty good, but the public defenders that we have for our children's trial, they're doing little nothing. Oh, it's just like the medical reports, all this. We came up with it. I'm not with anything. And we're trying to get them to file for immediate release. And they're hesitant to do that because they don't have a doctor signing off on it, when any doctor can look at these medical records and say this is what they say. Right now we have the doctor that we consulted with trying at least to give us a letter that we could present in the court to show that these medical reports show exactly what they say, that they were in good shape, healthy, and well-nourished. And that would prove that
would be good.
Yeah,
that
would
be good
prove
if you
that the workers
letter.
Out there lied on their sworn petition. Not that anything would ever happen to these workers, mind you, but at least it might help us get our children back. But even then, it seems they don't even care about that anymore. All they're trying to work, because the only thing they have to hold on to now is my oldest son's Nigel, is his autism, and say that we didn't treat it properly. And they haven't even diagnosed him yet. They've had him going on 3 months now, no therapy. Yeah, they know he's autistic, but they don't know the spectrum yet because they haven't fully diagnosed him. It's been about 3 months now.
Let me ask you this. Are you involved politically at all? Are there any legislators in your state that you know or have or know to be favorable towards families or anything like that?
No, we have a few people that have just like there's David Odin.
Odom.
He's involved with 3D politics, constitutional grounds, and he knows the DA, but that hasn't done much help. And he goes around, like when they were doing that vote in Connecticut about vaccinations, he was involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the ones who looked over these records.
Yes, I actually contacted him. I contacted him when I thought Terry wasn't coming on to see if he would come on. I've interviewed him about parents' rights in the past. I just wanted the best panel I could get.
He did a podcast on it just not too long ago.
I see. Okay.
And he's also looked over the records with us, and he saw exactly what we saw. He looked over the medical records. But, you know, that hadn't had much of an effect with our local DA. Mr. Rubber Stamp himself. Yeah. Could my wife call on the other line and get on so we're all at the same time? Hello?
Oh, you have two extensions? Good.
Oh, we have two different phones. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I see. Is she going to call in from a different number?
Yeah, she's
going to
call in.
She's going to pick up. Oh, I have to open the thing then. Okay.
Yeah, she's coming in right now.
Okay, hold on. I have to get back into my computer to open it up.
All right, she's opening up on the computer right now.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see another caller coming in though.
Go ahead and call. She just called.
All right, I await. Okay, I'm going to pick it up now.
Got her?
Yeah.
In
I'm
a
here.
Second? Yep. Okay.
I'm right here.
Welcome, Tamsin. Yes.
Thank you.
I thank you for sending me the story of what has transpired. And I've been dreading this interview all week because I get very upset about this. I have been also targeted when my children were small, and we lived for 6 weeks not knowing if our children were going to be taken away. And Terry just said, when I told her, I said, you have to come on. I haven't been able to sleep. I just can't. I'm very upset about doing this interview because it comes from a personal place. It was the worst 6 weeks of my life. And everything has happened to me as a vaccine activist. I mean, just everything has happened to me. So nothing compares to thinking you're going to lose your children, let alone losing your children. So, God, so this has just been stressful in the thought that it was upcoming. But I would never turn you away, believe me.
Okay, thank you.
I'm shaking, and I was crying all morning. I mean, really, it is very, I can't imagine being in your position, but at least you know where your children are, and they are, in fact, with family, even if the family is the one who vaccinated them into autism, which is as dire a scenario as God. So you have no power now to say, don't do that again. Don't do it to the younger child, you know? So you're left with your hands tied in that regard.
Pretty much.
Well, so everything, usually things start with a vaccine. In this case, it started and then the vaccine, you know, and then more started. So why did they revisit you after they had already, the woman who initially reported the first time, or she reported the second time they were involved with you?
No. This was a different woman reporting on that.
Oh, my God.
The first time she was at the hospital.
I have heard, and Terry can clarify this, but let me tell you everything I've heard from people who have been in like positions. That first of all, and Terry, I think, has said I'm incorrect, but I want to throw it out. Everybody who reports has to say who they are. Terry, tell me if that's true
no.
or not.
Mm-mm. No, they can report anonymously. Anonymous calls are taken all the time. And that's one of the things we really need to end. Because the Constitution says you have a right to face your accuser. And with Child Protective Services, you really don't. With that,
right,
especially
exactly.
with those anonymous calls.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people don't get. Is family court is a whole other animal. It's not running like a regular court. You are basically guilty until proven innocent.
Yes, and I remember when I first started investigating these stories, I would have parents tell me that they were told by either the judge or an attorney or a social worker that the Constitution doesn't apply in family court. And I thought, well, that's crazy. Of course, I can't fathom the founding fathers ever envisioning a court in which the Constitution did not apply. And the first half a dozen or so times I heard it, that's what I believed. And then I was hearing it more and more and more and more and more. And that is the mentality. However, it is not true. The Constitution does apply, and once you get it to the appellate level, they do apply the Constitution. But many families have lost the ability to fight or don't have the money to take it to the appellate level. Or, or one of the problems, and this is something you need to recognize and make sure, I need to be very clear on this. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know law. This isn't legal advice. But one thing I have learned is that when people take their case to appeal, the appeals court only looks at what was in the original case. You cannot, my understanding is you can't introduce evidence that was not introduced in the original case. So many times parents are saying, I've got all this proof that I didn't do anything, that I'm innocent, but they never allowed it to be on the record. They never allowed us to say this. So somehow, some way, you've got to find a way to file something, even if it's you write down your statement of the statement of facts. These are what happened, and then here's the evidence, here's the documents, here's this letter from this doctor, here's XYZ, and you get it notarized, you sign it, notarize it, and you present it to the court, and you say, I want to file this. I want this included in my case. And that way, you've got your evidence somehow in that record. If the way that my understanding of the way that the courts work is, if it's not in the record, it didn't happen. So it's irrelevant. The appeals people, you don't go to trial again at the appeals level. My understanding is the judges are looking at what was in the original case. If it's not on the record, they're not considering it. Does that make sense?
Well, I don't know, because here in Oklahoma, I've heard that if we lose in family court, because we're going to be judged by a single judge, not a jury, if we lose, we will have the option of going to a jury.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That is good.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to it, because I don't expect any justice from this judge. He's the same we dealt with before. I mean, he might surprise me because we have the fact. Whether or not he wishes to address them is another thing.
Find out.
So I think it's going to be a whole other story when we get this before jury.
Now what about this act where if they permanently displace your children from your family, that the social worker gets $4,000 for a child and $6,000 for a disabled child. This is what I understood was in that Clinton Act.
Right, the Adoption and Safe Families Act. Yeah, I mean, you can pull up the text of it. It's very clear. It's right there. When they are adopted out to non-family members, the state doesn't get this money if the child is adopted by a family member. And so this only happens if they are adopted by non-family members. But it's $4,000 for one child, and it's $6,000 and more if it's a special needs child. So that goes directly to the state, and the state can use that how they want to, how they choose to do that. Sometimes some states will actually put that in their general fund budget. So these kids, the ASPA Act is helping to fund anything in their government they want it to fund.
I've also heard that healthcare workers get money for reporting, and if the case is left open, as they do until sometimes, till the youngest child is 18, then they get an annual stipend as well. These are healthcare workers.
Wow.
Reporting.
Now, that I have not heard, but that wouldn't surprise me. There's so many streams of funding in this industry. There are so many streams of funding, it is impossible to track all of them down. And I think that that is intentional. We learned in Texas, and if it's in Texas, I'm sure it's in other states too, that the child abuse pediatricians that are at the children's hospitals and testifying against parents, that they are funded through Health and Human Services, through the Child Protective Services. And these child abuse pediatricians act as prosecutors. They're not acting as doctors who are there to help you and your child. They are acting as prosecutors, as part of the prosecutorial team to interrogate parents who don't realize they're being interrogated, mind you, who have not had Miranda rights read to them. And so they are interrogating parents. They're asking questions, and they're testifying against them, and all on our tax dollars. And they're not acting in the role of a doctor trying to help a child and find out what's going on. So that's a huge problem. Do you know if there was a child abuse pediatrician involved in your case? A child abuse team at the hospital?
Yes.
There is.
She's the same one that's involved last time.
Okay, let me ask you this. Was there something when you were in the hospital, did either of you guys get upset with the hospital at all and threaten to sue the hospital for anything?
I was there most of the time, and so when he was there, that did not happen, and I did not do that the whole time I was there. I did not threaten any lawsuits at all.
Okay. And the reason I ask that is because that's something we've seen, is when that happens, the hospital, the risk management tends to call the child abuse pediatrician and then accuse the parents, a lot of times in that case, of Munchausen syndrome by proxy. You done a dive into who this child abuse pediatrician is and their history and all of that?
Yes, I have researched her, yes.
Okay. Because I know that they're a small group of doctors. They've only been board certified since 2010. But their history is pretty sketchy, pretty dark. Wow. And so they accused you originally of being crazy or not being able to take care of your child. And then the second one, just failure to thrive because the child was small.
They then reported. Someone had reported that they had seen our children through the window.
She's talking about the first time.
Yeah. And then.
No, the first time they took him at the hospital.
Yeah.
Right. But then the second time was what? They saw him through a window? And they said?
Yeah. Someone had seen them through a
Somebody
window.
Somebody saw them through the window.
It.
This is unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't that be considered trespassing? Jeez. Wow.
Wouldn't that be considered trespassing? That's an interesting question.
When they were standing outside our window, I told them that I was not going to talk to them, and they please leave my property. And they said, this is not your property. They're on my porch.
That is your property.
But it is my property. But like I said, the police were there, you know, back and forth the whole time. And when they first talked to Mike, tell them what they told you.
First time they were out there, they were at the back door, sliding glass door, and it was three workers and two law enforcement officers. Reggie was at the store at this time, And what happened was I went to the door. I didn't open it. And the two officers, who I did not see the rest of the day, what they did was they told me they had to help, and they could see my children. They could see that they were running around and healthy. All five of these people can see that. And they told me that if I didn't open the door and talk to DHS and get this straightened out, that, there was a male officer and a female officer, by the way. And the male officer told me if I didn't do that, that he would arrest me for child endangerment. And I kept saying, I do not answer questions. I wish to speak to an attorney. And he told me I didn't have a right to an attorney. And the female officer was backing him up on this. I still didn't open the door. But, yeah, they were threatening to arrest me for child endangerment when the children were running around. And all I did was I didn't open the door. I just took the children into the bedroom and called Reggie from there and let him know what was going on. And eventually he came home. And law enforcement didn't leave, and neither did the workers. Law enforcement was coming throughout the day, and the workers stayed at the back door the whole time with smiles on their faces, by the way. They didn't care what we were saying to them. This is how it all transpired.
So what was it that brought them out there in the first place? Was that the neighbor looking through the window and accusing you?
That was the report. That was the call that they had, evidently. That one of the workers, one of those three workers, had been here 2 months prior to that.
Okay, did somebody want me to talk on the phone?
Yeah, well, I just wanted you to talk into the handpiece instead of on speaker so that we didn't have that echo.
Okay, we're not on speaker right now. Mm-hmm. That's not on speaker.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, weird.
Okay,
you're the one on speaker.
Okay, fine.
I just saw that announcement on my computer, so.
Right, I thought that you were, but I apologize. Okay.
No problem.
Y'all are too close together. Maybe go to the other side of the room from each other.
Okay,
the phones may be picking up that.
Okay.
But anyway.
Okay, how now? Is that okay now or not?
It's the same. Don't worry about it. Not worry about it. It just seems like this is entrapment and stalking and you know, it just does, nothing about this seems normal at all.
It was just a nosy neighbor, a meddling neighbor, saw something, or thought she saw something through the window, and when they get here, they can see that the children are healthy, yet they knowingly and willingly lie about it to allow them to get a court order so the police can break down the door if they have to. And then we get the medical records showing that they lied about this. None of this stuff was found when they went to the ER. They said they had rings around their eyes and that they were malnourished, and none of these things showed up at the ER. Now, you'd think right there maybe the worker would figure out, hey, you know, there's nothing wrong here. But no, the worker signs off on that and still keeps the children. She says, if I sign off on that, it's the same as agreeing that the workers that swore lied. They signed up on their end. It's their arrogance. I mean, it's just blatant what they're doing.
We have the information right there.
They lied on their sworn affidavit. Their children are fine, no problem. So then we got justified what we did. Oh, well, he has autism. Obviously, they haven't been treating him right. You're not proven innocent.
No child in Oklahoma is safe, is what you're telling me.
That's a fact. Unless you have a large amount of money to get a good private attorney, you're in trouble.
Are you working with any advocates there? I know there's some Facebook groups that have some advocates, but you have to be careful not to talk too much about your story or be aware that there are social workers that troll some of these pages. Well, I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, I know.
They trolled my Facebook page the first time this happened.
Do what now?
I know they're trolling, and I just don't care anymore because everything I say is factual.
Right, right. Okay. So there's Mad Angels Army, and then there's Family Forward Project. You could probably reach out to either one of those groups. Family Forward Project is run by Attorney Connie Regulie out of Tennessee. And then there's also a group, and I can't remember the name of which one he is. There's so many different groups, but Sean McMillan. That's a name you want to remember. Write down. Look up Sean McMillan. He's an attorney out of California, and he has done some appeals cases, and he's done very, very well. He's a warrior on those, but he's got some training videos of how to kind of training parents how to fight this stuff. And if you can look up those, find his videos, that would be helpful.
Okay.
She's writing down some information right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was the name of the angels? What angels?
Mad Angels Army. And if
okay,
you want to, that's both Mad Angels and Family Forward are things that you could share. Like once this interview is done, you could share the link to the interview on those pages as well, and see if you can get some people that are knowledgeable that can get you some support.
Okay.
Just be cautious. Check with other people that, or check with the admins when you have somebody that, if you have somebody that's wanting to help you, check with the administrators of those groups and say, okay, this person is volunteering to help me or wanting to help me. Is this person a reputable person? Because they've learned who people are, the ones that are the trolls, the ones that lead people down a rosy path of a lot of promises and then are actually snakes in disguise. So
right.
that's something to be aware of. There are those, but then there are good, wonderful people who care and want to help as well.
Okay.
And can give you some, just even some support, knowing you're not alone. Because one thing you've got to know is you're not alone in this. There are thousands of families all across the country who are battling this same monster. And there are people who are working diligently to try to bring it down. And there's a few legislators in different states that are working on things. You're familiar with Senator Alan Clark in Arkansas. And then there's Representative Kelly Townsend in Arizona. And there are some others that are trying to bring about some changes and trying to do some things. I found, and Sally, I'd run into you in Washington, D.C., and I actually made 6 trips in a 5-month period to D.C. talking about family first and talking about what's happening to families and how to help families have the tools to fight back. And what we found was the people in Washington, D.C. are not ignorant of this. There are some that have no clue what's going on. But there are many who actually do realize what's going on and realize that there are major problems with the system. So there are more people that are aware of the problems than you would ever realize. So if you can connect, and that's why I asked you about the politics, if you know anybody in the legislature, I found out from a legislator in my own state that there's somebody that is with the system that the legislators can actually call if one of their constituents comes to them and needs some help, needs to maybe get some different eyes on it and get somebody to see that there's something else going on or whatever, that there is often a liaison that in some cases can help. And we found out that that's what happened with the family of baby Braylon several years ago. I don't know if any of you remember hearing of the 14-year-old rape victim whose newborn was taken from her at the hospital. And so that story went viral, and then a legislator got involved with the CPS liaison in our state and was able to get some things done behind the scenes to get some more higher up ears and eyes on this, and eventually helped that family. So that can happen. I know of a case where there was a grandmother in another state who, when they were taking the grandchild, and this is one where the child abuse pediatrician was involved, and they were about to put this child in foster care with strangers. And because the grandmother was friends with the legislator was able to kind of step in and get the family, the child moved to family, at least, instead of strangers. So sometimes who you know can make a difference. And it shouldn't be that way. Justice should be blind. We should be able to, just because it's on the merits of the case, because this is the right thing to do, you get your children back or they're not taken or you have justice, just because it's the right thing to do. But unfortunately, that's not the real world we live in. And sometimes it's who you know. And that frustrates me no end, but it would behoove you to see if you can find somebody, find some contacts that know some people that are in the legislature that can maybe help go to bat for you.
That would be good, but our biggest problem we're finding right now is we know some really good attorneys for family court, but we can't afford them right now. I mean, it took everything else to afford the criminal attorney for my wife.
Yeah.
Well, there the link to the fundraiser for attorneys is directly under the screen of this program. It's a live link. You can click directly on it and help the Bowles with their, you know, raise money. Now, I had just asked you if you knew what Legal Shield is. This is something that a lot of homeschoolers use, which has a lawyer at your disposal at all times, 24 hours a day. They have that for when CPS. Correct. I put it in your inbox. And I know someone in Oklahoma who represents them, and when she came on and talked about homeschooling, she said that she has found this to be a tremendous asset, and I'll get you in touch with her. But it's just so when people show up at your door, you have a lawyer advising you right there, and then there's always somebody available 24 hours for homeschoolers, because why? CPS shows up at their door all the time, you know? And they need to have a little – and there's also a group for parents' rights that I believe – maybe if you join that group, you can get a good rate. I'm not sure, but I know someone who works with them, and I will ask them as well. But
what is it called?
This is Legal Shield, or what are you talking about now? Is that what you're asking about? What's the other one?
The other one that you just said that parents' rights. Kind of.
Yeah, parents' rights. Right. I have to talk to the woman who is involved with that, and perhaps she can advise you directly, you know? So I'm not sending you to a website. I'm probably going to have someone contact you.
Heritage Defense is another one that that people can become a part of. It's geared towards Christian families and homeschoolers, but Heritage Defense is really, really a good one. Homeschool Legal Defense, and I'll just go on and throw that out there, that one you have to already be part of it before they come, and they only address it if it is a homeschool issue. Bulldogs, and that's the thing is, most of the time I see where social workers have figured out they're not as likely to be as successful if they use homeschooling as the excuse for taking the child, because Homeschool Legal Defense will be on them, on their case, and will make it a national issue in a heartbeat. And so the vaccine issue, I don't know that I haven't seen a lot of where they use the vaccine issue as the reason to take the child. They use that when they find out that people are not vaccinating or they're not doing everything according to the schedule that everybody is supposed to follow of the vaccines, then they will look deeper and they will start really trying to find dirt to see what they can do to get that child away. They don't generally write, we're removing the child because they don't believe in vaccinations.
There's no law, state or federal, that says you have to vaccinate instead of a phone. Yet they still use that as the reason it's completely illegal for taking the children the first time around.
Have you contacted people with like Vaccine Impact or NVIC or any of those guys? And I'm thinking you probably have. You probably already contacted
these guys. Vaccine Impact or NVIC? No, not them. I don't know who all we've reached out to as far as the vaccine issue. Just our friends, I guess.
And
we're pretty active on Facebook, on social media, though. I mean, that's well known that we're against vaccination.
Yeah, I would contact some of those groups and see if they can mobilize their forces. And if, you know, maybe that they're is enough people to maybe help you guys with your fundraiser to get a decent attorney.
Okay, and you said NVIC, which one?
Yeah, NVIC, NVIC.
Okay.
And then vaccineimpact.com.
Okay. I've heard of them. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've been on their website. Okay.
Right. Well, a journalist covering your story would be helpful, too. You know,
that would be too. That's funny you mentioned that, because first time around, we sent four different letters to the Tulsa World. We could back up everything we said. They didn't print any of the letters. And right after we got to sending these letters, we were visited by the police. And they wanted to talk to my wife about Nigel. And, of course, she told him, I don't talk to the police. I wish to speak to an attorney. And then right after sending the letter to the Tulsa World, pointing out what the local DA was doing.
I have not really heard a word that you said. Could you repeat what he said, Tamsin?
I didn't say it.
Tam?
It was about the Tulsa World. The Tulsa World, we had written... Four different letters. Go ahead.
Okay, we had written to the Tulsa World. Can you hear me?
You had written to the
IC. So you wrote
to the
mainstream.
We sent letters, to the editor of Tulsa World the first time this happened,
Tulsa World. Okay. So
and
the newspaper.
We explained who was involved. We explained what the DA, we explained the petition saying because we didn't believe in vaccination. We could back up everything we said. We had documentation, everything we said. They refused to print any of the letters. And shortly after that, the police arrived at our door.
Right.
And this is that the police, the children are already taken. And now, see, they got the children, and now they're going to try to stick criminal charges on us because we're raising a fuss.
Yeah, and when they came to the door that time, I mean, the first time around, when they came, I exercised my rights that time. I told them that, well, actually, I asked them if they had a warrant. They said no. And they went away. That was when they came to the door the first time around, after we had written those letters to the Tulsa World.
Okay. I'm really thinking more in terms of vaccine newsletters, so that you can get your word out.
That talk about specifically about vaccines, okay.
Maybe look at an alternative media journalist.
Right. There's no journalist would cover the story. Mm-hmm. But what's that, Lori Fulbright?
Yeah.
She was more than willing to cover the arrest of Tamsin. Oh,
okay,
she's a big old coverage on that.
She's a local crime reporter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But for the rest of the story, she doesn't seem to be that interested.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
Sensationalism, it makes front page. And on the back story, not interested.
I'm saying the alternative news.
I've seen Breitbart cover a couple of these. I've seen Glenn Beck cover a couple of these.
Well, if anybody out there knows the producers of that show, get in touch with them.
I will send you a list of different places that would welcome this story, I believe.
Okay. That'd be great.
Okay.
Okay, well, anyway, let us get back to where you're at now. Where are you at now? And you are trying to defend yourself, Tamsin, and the lawyer that you have is somebody who is, you feel, helping you, or your husband stated was helping you, and that looked good, but you only had a state attorney or, you know, a governmental attorney representing on behalf of getting your children back.
Yes.
And yeah, and that was not looking good, and no surprise there, you know.
Yes.
So you need better help than you've got. Now, if you get better help than you've got, there's the question of who is the lead attorney. Can you change attorneys mid-course? That's something that we ran into with a story that Terry LaPointe had covered with Anita. And Anita could only be her attorney could only be advised by another attorney. She couldn't switch attorneys mid-course.
I'm not aware of anything like that. As far as I know, we can change attorneys at any time, as far as I know.
Okay. Well, that was not the case for her. She lives in, I believe, Texas. But anyway, so you want to find out what's possible. And if it's not possible, will that attorney, take advice from someone who might know a whole lot more than they do?
That's doubtful. If we got someone better, our whole thing would be to fire them with the guy because they haven't so far followed instructions, even though the last time I communicated my attorney, she seemed to be willing to follow the course I wanted to follow. But they're very slow in getting back to you.
Well, how much money have you raised so far?
Not much. I mean, like around 500, maybe. I mean, all together, not at once.
Oh. We also raised some money for the private attorney outside of the GoFundMe.
Well,
so
you
basically,
the
fundraiser just about covered half of the private attorney for her criminal case. But so far, the attorneys we talked to, although they're very good attorneys for the family court, they're
their
fee. What do you call that?
Retainer?
But yeah, the retainer fee is outrageous.
And do you know any attorneys who are experienced in representing on behalf of this issue?
Oh, yeah, we do, but that's the ones with the high retainer. They're the ones that even had experience dealing with, Passmore, the pediatrician. They dealt with and beat her in court before.
I'm not sure what you just said. Tamsin, could you help me?
Say it.
The attorneys that are with the family. Can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
The family attorneys that have experience with this and have even beaten Passmore in court, Passmore the pediatrician, they require a high retainer. And
no, that's it. You know,
they have
experience. They're good,
experience.
But they're very high priced.
But they're high priced.
Right. Okay. Well, at least you know that they are even available. A lot of people I can imagine might not want to take on the government in regard to this. So
that's true. And
you know,
even though they weren't able to hire them yet, they gave us a lot of good advice while we were talking to them. That, you know, to tell our attorneys and how to go forward with things we want done.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So I appreciate, you know, they did have to help us out as much as they did. And we're talking to another one of the ones in a couple of days, and we're going to see exactly what he can do for us and how much he's going to charge.
Now, do you look at
that? It's a guy, it's a girl.
Can you look up their success rate? Is there any way you can find what their success
rate is?
That
shouldn't be. I could eventually. I mean, it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. I don't know if you can look stuff like that up, but I'm glad to hear that you can.
Yeah, I've looked at other lawyers and their track records, so I don't see why I can't track down any lawyer's records.
Okay, good. I've never attempted it, so I don't know. I'm just asking.
I do it a lot. I often research all kinds of people. I mean, anybody that could possibly help, anybody that even doesn't help. I mean, I always just try to look at any record of anybody. I mean, as far as what they can or cannot do.
Right.
Yes, Tense has been very good at researching this and last time as well.
Well, you've never needed it more, so I'm glad you're good at it.
I agree.
Yeah,
thank you.
So, Terry, do you have any other advice for these distressed parents?
What is coming to mind is the only way you lose is if you give up. Just never give up. That's the only way you're going to lose. You have authority in prayer to pray for your children like nobody does. And at the deepest level of this, this is a spiritual battle. Never forget that. This is the enemy since the dawn of human history that has wanted to destroy families. And it is, I mean, that this is the enemy. This is not God's plan for you, for your family. This is for families anywhere, because God's intention and plan for families is for them to be together and for children to be raised by their parents. So just seek the Lord, ask Him for wisdom. He will give you wisdom, and ask for favor. And I know this is traumatic. I cannot even imagine what you are going through. It's just, like you said, it's every parent's worst nightmare. And so just every jurisdiction is different. Every case is different as far as the people that you're up against. But it's one common enemy is of course, the demonic forces. And that's where the real battle is. And remembering that God loves you and God loves your children even more than you could. He loves you guys more than you can imagine. And if God is allowing something in our lives, it's because no matter how terrible it is, that He intends to bring something good out of it. It's not saying what the enemy does to you is good. It's saying that God is able to bring good out of it, which He does. And I've seen over and over and over again. So remembering to thank God in everything is a weapon. Praising God, choosing to give God glory no matter what is a weapon, and the enemy doesn't even know how to fight against that. So if it's okay with all of you guys, I know, Sherry, that what you went through with your own children, just that fear that's left some trauma with you. Okay, is it okay if I pray for all of you guys?
I would love it. Thank you. How about you, Tamsin and Reggie? Is that okay?
Yes.
That's fine with me.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, we come to you desperate for justice, desperate for restoration of this family. This family is desperate for mercy, for healing, and for justice. for wisdom. And God, we know that you supply all of those things. You are all of those things and more. And that even the trauma that we've gone through in our lives, you can still the storm. You can calm our hearts and bring peace, even in the most horrific of situations. It's that peace that passes all understanding. And Lord Jesus, I ask that you would release your peace, supernatural peace, to each one of these precious people and to these children, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would minister to these precious babies and put angels around them, protect them from harm. Heal the one with autism. Heal that brain injury. You are the great physician. God, bring healing to that. Bring healing to their hearts and wisdom and steadfastness. Lord, I ask for strength to walk through this battle. And Lord, I ask for ultimate victory for this family to come, that they would rise up triumphant over the enemy, and that we would see changes in Oklahoma and across this nation and even in the world, to where families rise up and are restored. And we ask for restoration, that we take back the ground that the enemy has stolen, and that you would restore families all across this nation. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Amen. Now, Tamsin and Reggie, I know people who reverse autism. I just interviewed a woman the other day who had four people come on and give testimony to how their children have recovered. So I'm going to put that in the area right below the screen as well when I get off with you. And I want you to look at that and listen to it, because it is your child now is with a relative who is obviously not educated when it comes to vaccination, but loves them. So that's a huge plus. And there are ways to reverse autism. So please don't give up hope in that regard.
I want to read something to you guys that just came up from the Elijah list. And it's just very, very powerful. I think it speaks to where you guys are really today. And it's called, it says, God says, fear not, open your eyes to the true report. And they're kind of talking about the, I think it's a response to the coronavirus, but this goes so much bigger. Let's see. The Father says today, I am your inoculation from every disease and every virus. Vaccinate yourself with my word. Immunize yourself with my promise. Though 1,000 fall at your right hand or 10,000 at your left, it will not come near you. Many voices are sounding around you, and fear rises like a tide. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. I am the God who raises the standard of my power and the merits of the cross to destroy anxiety and to bring you to rest and peace, while others flail about with no answers. Hear my voice and listen to what I'm saying. Anchor your well-being on what I've told you time and time again in my word. Exercise faith in my word, says the Father, for my promise is that I will allow none of these diseases to come on you that those without are grappling with. I'm your healer and I am your healing. Stay in the place of trust. Keep your eyes on me at all times, for my name is your defense and your high tower. Run into my name. Open your eyes to the true report of my voice on the inside of you. When others panic, keep your hand on the lead line of my guidance that knows no fear. I will lead you and guide you through the fire, and you will come out without even the smell of smoke on one thing in your life that is dear to you. Trust in me, said the Father. This is an hour and day of unequivocal trust and dependence upon my hand and my voice and my purpose in your life. Step out in faith and keep moving forward with confidence and boldness to believe all that I have said to you. Oh, thank you. Wow. You've said in your heart. Just one more little paragraph here. You've said in your heart, I don't think I can take much more of this. But the Father says, fear not, for I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will see to it, as you put your trust afresh and anew to me, that nothing and no one will set on you to hurt or destroy or even touch one hair of your head.
I want to tell you something, both of you, because Terry has just had the most remarkable thing happen to her, and I am absolutely, I know in my heart it's because she's such a good woman and has helped so many families like yours. Her daughter has had a reversal of her appearingly autism symptoms, many symptoms of autism her daughter was experiencing, and lifted completely, gone, poof, no protocol, nothing, prayer, gone. And I just want to say, so she speaks, I believe it is because she works so diligently and is so brave and so good that this has happened for her, and of course for her daughter, but for her. So I'm going to recommend people who do have protocols, but you know, Terry had no protocol. She just is a great lady who believes in God and prays, as does her daughter, and her daughter is completely well. It's unbelievable, and I will send you that interview where you will hear her daughter speaking about how the reversal of 25 different symptoms gone. You know, so there's. Yeah. We don't want you to lose hope, and we want you to know there is help, and we certainly will push the fundraiser for you in terms of getting legal assistance as well, and putting you together with the right people that we know. But you know, more than anything, don't lose hope.
We won't.
Yeah, there's got to be a bigger purpose, and that's one thing that always, when I'm going through really tough things, that always keeps me going, is that there's got to be a purpose to it. There's got to be, if it's allowed to come, then there's going to be something bigger. So you guys are going to have an impact on many, many, many more lives. Your testimony and your overcoming, because you're going to overcome this. You're going to get through this. I really feel that very strongly. You're going to get through this. And as difficult as it is, and it sucks. I mean, there's nobody saying anything that any of this is acceptable or excusable or okay. None of this is okay. It's not a bit okay. But there will be good that will come out of it. And I'm just sensing that very, very strongly for you guys.
Is there anything else you'd like to say, Reggie or Tamsin?
No, I appreciate everybody out there that's offered their prayers and seeing what they can do. And, you know, whatever you can do, any help you can offer, both of us are on Facebook. You want to contact us, you want to know more about the story, you want to follow the story, you want to know what's happening as it happens, we'll be more than happy to let you know.
Well, do me a favor, if you would. There's a comments area below the screen that I cannot seem to comment on, but others can. So if you can comment, would you put whatever information you want people who wish to reach out to you to find?
All right.
Okay. Oh, thank you. And as I say, I have the fundraising link there, but I'll actually send you things that you can embellish it with that I can't put there that I was going to send you anyway, and we'll work together to make this as thorough a production as possible.
What comment section are you talking about again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, under the screen, when you play it, section should appear in the lower half of the page. And normally, I embellish all my shows with links that are relevant to our conversation, but for some reason I can't. So I kind of have to look to the people I'm interviewing to help me get things that are relevant that people, you know, might be interested in finding out more about, like you, like where to find you.
Right.
So it's up to you. You don't have to, but I'm just saying. Okay. All right. Well, Terry, I thank you so much. You're so busy and you've got so much work to do, for taking the time to come on this program It means the world to me. I truly appreciate it. And I appreciate. Oh, I love you so much. But Tamsin and Reggie, I'm so glad that we could get together today and that we had Terry's expertise especially.
We really appreciate it.
Okay.
We greatly appreciate it.
Goodbye, my goodbye, my friends.
Take care. Take care. Good
night. We will.